Chapter 7. There's a letter from my mother to say times are hard at home. She knows my wages aren't great, and she's grateful for the $10 every week. But could I spare an extra few dollars for shoes for Michael and Alfie? She had a job taking care of an old man, but he was a great disappointment the way he died unexpected, when she thought he'd hang on to the new year, so she'd have a few shillings for shoes and Christmas dinner, ham, or something with a bit of dignity in it. She says sick people shouldn't hire people to take care of them and give them false hope of a job when they know very well they're in the throes. There's nothing coming in up with the money I'm sending, and it looks as if poor Michael will have to leave school and get a job the minute he turns 14 next year. And that's a shame. And she'd like to know, is this what we fought the English for, that half the children of Ireland should be wandering street, field, and boreen, with nothing between them and their feet but the skin? I'm already sending her $10 out of the 32 I get at the Biltmore Hotel, though my pay is more like 26 when they deduct the Social Security and the income tax. After the rent, I have $20, and my mother gets 10 of that, and I have 10 for food and the subway when it rains. The rest of the time, I walk to save the nickel. Now and then, I go mad with myself and go to a film at the 68th Street Playhouse. And I know enough to sneak in a Hershey bar or two bananas, which is the cheapest food on earth. Sometimes when I peel my banana, people from Park Avenue with sensitive noses will sniff and whisper to each other, "Is that a banana I'm smelling?" And the next thing is they're threatening to complain to the management. But I don't care anymore. If they go to the usher to complain, I'm not going to skulk in the men's room eating my banana. I'll go to the Democratic Party in the Biltmore Hotel and tell them, I'm an American citizen with an Irish accent.